Hey, what up, Long Beach? Welcome back to the one and only Sports Night here at GazetteSports.com. It feels like summer outside in the LBC right now, but the calendar says fall sports, and we've got another jam-packed show each and every week. We pick three topics involving local sports and discuss them so that you can also discuss them on the website at GazetteSports.com. As always, this show brought to you by the people at the Gazette Newspapers and the three amigos sitting on the couch right now. I am co-sports editor J.J. Fiddler to my left.
Mike Garnabasio, I appreciate that you say to your left so that I can reinforce this whole directional thing. And to our far right,
whoa, Tyler Hendrickson.
Whoa!
And you know I stay right.
Oh.
Opinion-wise.
Not on the far right of many issues, but on the far right of this couch right now, Tyler Hendrickson.
Your boy. We couldn't do anything at the Gazette Newspapers or GazetteSports.com without the fine list of sponsors that we have on the website right now. Let's give them a shout-out.
Well, obviously, Naples Rib Co. and their Naples Car Wash, huge sponsors, title sponsors of everything we do at GazetteSports.com, whether that's our articles or our videos. And just below them, we call them the silver sponsors, but obviously they dream in gold. McCarty's Jewelry, here for you since 1932.
They handle their business. Also, Los Alamitos Cardiovascular, celebrating 31 years now. So we remember when they were celebrating 30. Big ups to them. Also, Friedman's Appliances, get the interior of your home laced up proper. And Care Jones over at State Farm, insurance to help you save. Be sure to click on those ads at GazetteSports.com. Support the sponsors and let them know that you love Gazette Sports.
Or get yourself or your business listed on that. Hit the contact button, top of the page. It gets us an email. We will get you contacted with the right people so that the people who love Long Beach sports and come to the website know that you are the business that they need to get to. Now, again, like I said, each week we pick three topics. The three topics this week are, at the end of the show, we're going to announce something very special. And if you consider yourself a Long Beach sports fan, you will be extremely excited about this breaking news.
I've been signed by the San Francisco 49ers.
This is what we call a tease, and that is not actually what is going to happen.
It's a big day for my family. I'd like to thank my trainer, my mother, my brother, my father. I'm going to keep going.
Who's got it better than Mike?
We'll also talk about injuries in sports. Yes, they are a part of sports, but is there a larger issue at hand when you're talking about young kids at the high school and the college level with those injuries and then the obvious rehabilitation? But before we get there to those two topics, the first topic that we want to talk to is huge. Right now, in the fall, we have got the local high schools getting into the Moore League Championship season. They're playing for their individual, they're playing for their team titles. Even at Long Beach State, conference tournaments for those fall sports are just right around the corner. All of that could be gone without the support from the state of California. Not so much on the college level, but almost entirely at the high school level. And this November, when you go to vote this November, I know everybody's talking about the presidential election, but there is a much bigger issue here in the local area. The local schools need Prop 30 to pass. Now, there is a good group of people over there that say they don't want Prop 30. They said that they do want Prop 30, and then there's obviously 38 that we'll get to. But the bottom line is, we just need to talk about this, because as a sports organization, it affects us, and it affects anybody who has either played sports in Long Beach, will play sports in Long Beach, or has a child who plays sports in Long Beach.
Well, let me say this. I actually think it's much bigger than that. Tyler, you are too. My wife is as well. I'm a product of the public schools in Long Beach. That's why my parents moved here. That's why my parents wanted to stay here, was to raise me and put me in these schools, which win national awards almost every year. Obviously, the Broad Foundation Prize, LBUSD, always in the running. The magnet programs here, fantastic. I was in those from 1st grade through 12th grade. I played music from 4th grade through 12th grade. And obviously a big fan of sports locally. All of that will very likely or very possibly disappear if Prop 30 doesn't pass. If you've been living in California, if you've been living in Long Beach, you have to have heard about the pink slips that have been handed down. Hundreds of teachers have been laid off. For my family personally, my wife is a teacher who's trying to get a job. She's a valedictorian, UCLA, magna cum laude, and can't get a job right now teaching in the Long Beach schools, which 10 years ago in Long Beach would have been completely unheard of. So I look at this as a necessary thing. We've already seen the effect that this stuff has had on sports with the loss of our on-campus coaches. You want to look at what's happening with the football teams in Long Beach right now. I think the first thing you do is look at the fact that we've got almost no on-campus coaches, whereas when the Moore League was strong, Rob Weigott had a quote in the Press Telegram today about that fact, that the cuts at the district are what have decimated Moore League football. So to me, yeah, it's a sports issue. We won't have anything to cover. We'll be out of a job if it doesn't pass. So there's certainly some selfish stuff here. But
which
to me,
is tough.
Yeah,
which is tough.
I've got a postcard from 1904 encouraging people to move to Long Beach because of two things. The weather's perfect, and it's the best schools in the country. The first one, well, it's really hot in October right now. It's not perfect there, I'll tell you that much. But we need to keep the school system strong because that's really what Long Beach has been known for the last century.
Well, and it does more than just, you know, do things for our kids and make sure that, you know, you grow up and have a great experience growing up and have all those extracurriculars, you know, like sports and music and all those other great things, while also having an opportunity to have good teachers in your district, which is obviously
very important. Or even teachers at all.
Or even teachers at all, yes, of course. But, you know, it increases property value when you have a good education system.
Right.
That's part of the reason that Long Beach, you know, some of the homes are places to
live. That's
why
I don't own a home.
It's expensive.
That's why I don't own a home yet. F. King Alexander, the president of Cal State Long Beach, said perfectly when he said, if this doesn't pass, it will be, quote, Armageddon in California for public education.
Now, the reason why he would say that is because in 2008, they cut pretty much everything across the board in all states almost. You know, obviously it was the biggest financial disaster since the Great Depression. So those cuts will continue unless Prop 30 passes. That is what the people who have backed yes on Prop 30 are saying. They want to stop another $6 billion in cuts for schools. They want to prevent a steep tuition hike for college students and their families. And they want to invest in the schools and colleges, obviously, to do what schools and colleges do, which is prepare the next generation for the next generation. Now, on the other side, the Stop Prop 30 is saying that it is raising sales and income taxes on all Californians to the tune of $50 billion over 7 years. They're saying it doesn't guarantee any new funding for schools, and obviously the classic tagline of it's destroying small businesses and killing jobs. This is obviously a political issue that is deep-rooted in what party you stand with, but I think our point is... What?
No, I just think it's how much you value education.
I know so many Republicans who are pro Prop 30 because of the history of education and law.
But you could admit that the rhetoric surrounding television and radio commercials are directed at a certain political party.
Certainly. And I think I'd say specifically the strong anti-tax wing of the Republican Party, you know, which you could have argument about, you know, whether or not that's a what kind of a Republican that is or whatever. But to me, you know, you listen to that verbiage, it kind of goes back and forth. I will say, as to not guaranteeing any new funding for schools, that's flat out not true. The language isn't in there that would put someone in jail if the schools don't get the money, but Prop 30 obviously is written specifically to fund lower primary and higher education. I mean, there's no reason schools would be campaigning for it if they weren't going to get any money, essentially. And every school that you go to, they talk about it. Well, we hear about this issue constantly. I was invited to speak at a Moore League meeting last March about this because it was already on their radar. Hey, if this thing doesn't pass, we're probably not going to have a Moore League anymore. So what can we do with local media
Say that again.
It is worth saying again. If this doesn't pass, we honestly may not have a Moore League in Long Beach anymore because essentially what's going to happen is, as we talk about people privatizing things, we're going to say, oh, okay, well, you know, we can't afford to have high school sports anymore. And they've already cut high school sports to the bone. The coaching stipend is a joke. We've got no on-campus coaches. They don't bus kids anymore. You have to get a ride to every game, which is just, like, unheard of for when we were in high school a mere 5 and 10 years ago, Tyler and I. If this doesn't pass, they really may say, well, club sports are really taking off. That's what high school sports are now. And that's, I mean, in this city, that's crazy. There's cities in California that don't feel that way, obviously. But, you know, look what's already happened. We're already having to raise like $160,000 of private money to keep the middle school sports program going. You know, a program that Willie McGinnis, you go on and on about the Long Beach greats that have participated in that program. That's being funded privately now, and I don't think that should have to happen.
Look, times are tough. They have been tougher, but they're from where we're looking at, they've never been tougher for this generation, especially this generation that's in school right now. But that means that everybody has to come together, right?
Yeah, and I would think schools would be the thing you'd come together on.
They would be the top of the list for me. Maybe 1B would be hospitals.
Right, yeah. It's certainly worth pointing out that if you look at Long Beach as a city, the LBUSD is the biggest employer in the city. So if this were Boeing and you were talking about should we pass a state subsidy to fund aerospace research, and oh, look at all the jobs it'll create in Long Beach. It's the same thing. If you have some problem with this public-private dichotomy, you're talking about funding or defunding the city's biggest employer.
Yeah, and so, how do we not have education at the top of our list and want California to be an educated, vibrant, progressive state that educates their youth and cares about the, you know, the human experience that lower education and higher education offers you, which is what 30 is going to protect. I would say that this is the most important issue that you're going to vote on as a California voter.
To me, there's no question about it. It's worth pointing out California, one of the states in America that spends more money on its penal system than it does on its school system. To me, I don't really feel like anything more needs to be said than that. But it's important that we continue to fund our schools, regardless of what you're hearing in these No on 32 ads. No on 30 ads, excuse me. It's yes on 30, no on 32. We don't need to talk about 32. regardless of what you're hearing on the No on 30 ads, it will fund schools. That's the reason that it was put forth. It's the thing that everyone who's involved with the school has said about it. It's the reason you're hearing F. King and Chris Steinhauser and everyone talk about this. Is it is the only way to stop the bleeding right now. And if you're in Long Beach and you're paying attention to what's happening, you know that that's our first priority.
There is always confusion when going to the ballot box because of wording, like we've been talking about, and also just the sheer volume of things that are on the ballot that you may have not heard of even before you walk in, if you're not an extremely informed voter. So, one of those things is the fact that 38 and 30 are technically tied together, but not really if 30 passes.
Yeah, to break it down, and I think everyone who's on the Yes on 30 campaign kind of agrees this is a... What would you want to call this? A dropped infield fly in the outfield or something? It's a weird move.
Yeah.
They are very similar. Prop 30 has verbiage to fund all schools from the preschool level up through college. Prop 38 will just do that for preschool through high school. So there's no wording about higher education in it, which obviously has the colleges nervous. It's worth pointing out LBCC, and I've been told this by the former dean of student affairs and the current athletic directors there. If this doesn't pass, we essentially won't have any sports programs at LBCC. And personally, looking at the money, I'm not entirely sure how that school stays open if this doesn't pass.
Yeah, it's so important that we've already seen tuition continue to rise at Long
it's
Beach
crazy.
State. And it's
I used
just
to take classes there.
Farther.
You used to be able to take classes there for fun, and now it costs as much to do a year at LBCC as it costs JJ and I to do our freshman year at Cal State Long Beach. To get back to the Prop 38 thing, if Prop 38 and Prop 30 pass, Prop 38 automatically cancels out.
So it will be Prop 30 because that's the one that covers more schools.
Right.
It's better.
But you're not gonna be charged twice for this or whatever. Some of the concern that I've heard has been that's sort of one of the false things that's been put out there. Prop 38 would automatically cancel. I do think obviously because the colleges are behind 30 and not 38, you're gonna see that going. I personally will be voting yes on both of them with the idea that. I'll take whatever we can get in terms
right.
of keeping our schools running. And if that means that people feel that college kids should be paying more money, if that's the will of the state, that's the will of the state. But to me, obviously, that is almost a separate issue. Should a 10th grader have access to learning how to play a musical instrument or play sports from 2 to 5 p.m. instead of running around doing whatever they want to?
Indeed, and that's what it comes down to. And the other thing is, we're not just telling you that this is an important issue, but it's also urging people, get out there and vote. There's even athletes that we cover that have the opportunity to get out and vote, and this directly affects you. A lot of times people feel like, oh, well, you know, my vote doesn't really mean anything. California is going to be blue anyway, as only thinking about the presidential race.
You couldn't be more narrow-minded to only feel that you're going to the vote to cast a ballot for the presidential race. So,
and that is an important thing. I don't want to downgrade that at all. It's important to have your voice heard and speak out for whatever group that you belong to. But Prop 30 not only affects the coverage that you're getting on this website, it affects all of our lives directly and the lives of every Californian, in my opinion.
Well,
because it affects everything. It affects all of us, man.
When everyone is educated, obviously things are... I mean, you can really look at the success of a society, to me, almost, when you look at the ratios for penal system funding and education funding. There's real-world consequences tied to what percentage of your state you're putting into those things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm not suggesting we close prisons, but I certainly am suggesting we keep schools open. If you're planning on being pulled over by a cop who knows the law, if you're planning on having surgery from a doctor who grew up with their mind stimulated from preschool, you want the public school system to be strong. You don't want those things to only be accessible for those who can afford to send their kids to private school.
The smarter the better, definitely. So whatever you're going to be voting on this ballot, you obviously know where we stand on Proposition 30, but it's important to get out there, rock the vote, and save the local schools.
And save our jobs.
And save our jobs. This is important.
What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to Gazette Sports Talk. Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on a podcast, not a video. That's my fault. If you're looking for more ways to get involved with GazetteSports.com, and I know that you are, don't lie to me, Long Beach. The two best ways you can do that right now are to go onto Facebook, search Long Beach Gazette Sports, and like us. Please, please like us. Then go on Twitter and follow at Gazettes Sports. That's two S's in the middle. And Gazettes Updates, which will give you all of the late local breaking news that you can expect from around the world of Long Beach sports.
Yeah, we said earlier that injuries are part of sports at all levels, definitely a part of youth sports because kids are still growing into their bodies, and we've seen it so often where a kid is, you know, undersized and then over an off season just absolutely sprouts out of the ground, you know, 3 inches taller, and then has a knee injury during that season. Not a coincidence. Those things happen. But they also have been happening a lot more recently, and I think it's part of two issues. One of which is, how are these kids getting rehabilitated? And the other is, I think they might be getting overworked a little bit. Now, we can do the overworked thing in a second, but...
Well, yeah, and we've seen it a lot recently. Just last week, a really heartbreaking injury. Cabrillo quarterback Jalen Warfield, who's a senior and new to the school, tore his ACL, unfortunately, in a game against Lakewood. Was having a great game, and obviously all that gets forgotten, you know, the score and in the context of the game, because that's a serious knee injury. And obviously, you know, we got the story up talking about it, and it's just a crushing blow for that team and that program, and obviously within his life, because now, you know, your future gets thrown into jeopardy. And that's always a concern, because the point of high school sports for a lot of kids is to get to that next level and to ensure that you get that college education. And when an injury like this puts that, you know, in doubt, that's a serious problem for your entire life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's something that I think, JJ, you and I specifically, we read this in the LA Times, and it was shocking. Johnny Stanton's another Southern Section quarterback who had an ACL tear. Stanton plays for Santa Margarita, who started the season ranked number one in the country on Max Preps, and had a scholarship offer in hand from Nebraska. Stanton, it was written of him in the article in the Times that an ACL tear these days is, quote, more like a sprained ankle, because of the medical care he's going to get, the quality of the surgery he's going to get, and then the rehabilitation he's going to get. Now, Jalen Warfield, that might not be the case. We have no idea. You know, maybe Jalen Warfield will be seeing the best doctors that that money can buy and everything. But generally, when these athletes happen to an inner-city kid, it is not happen that way. We covered a kid named John Timu at Jordan who, as a junior, was named the Moore League Player of the Year, who blew his knee out and spent weeks and months looking for a doctor that his family could afford to do the surgery.
Yeah, head coach Scott Meyer was at Jordan at that point. He's now at CDM. But he told us that he was spending more time trying to find Timu a doctor during that season than he was preparing for football games, because it was so time intensive and they just continued to run into these brick walls of you can't get this done. And more to just the surgery and everything else, Timu then had to rehabilitate himself and fight through to save his scholarship at UW, where thankfully now we can look and say, hey, that's awesome, it all worked out, because he's actually starting on defense for the Huskies this year. But it was a long, hard road to get there, whereas, like you said, Mike, Stanton's injury is treated as a high ankle sprain.
Well, yeah, that disconnect is kind of ridiculous. You know, we're in an age now in sports where someone gets shaken up on the field and you can find out what their injury is before the game's over. You know, it gets treated so immediately, whether in college or in the pros, but when it comes down to the high school level, the difference in funding and the opportunity to have access to the quality of care affects lives at this point. I mean, not just, oh, how quickly do you recover, but will you get that scholarship? Will you be able to have a career now after your playing days are over?
And Jalen Warfield re-injured that knee. That didn't just come out of nowhere. He had a brace on that knee that night. He had injured it in the first game of the season. He had worked hard to get back. And maybe then you have to look at maybe overworking the knee or whatever that is. But I think that's another big issue here. We're seeing more and more teams, which means kids are playing on high school teams and club teams and travel teams. And they're playing so much, no matter the sport. Are these high school kids, we're seeing more blown knees and sprained ankles and stuff. We even saw one at Long Beach State where point guard Haley Meneses took out her ACL, just another injury for that team. Are these kids working too hard? And I know that's going to make some coaches cringe, but is some of this just too much for the human body?
To an extent, I actually think I've heard that from multiple coaches. You know, it maybe makes them cringe because of the ramifications, potential ramifications of practicing kids less or something, but I think we see specifically, Jody Wins talked to me extensively about this, specifically with the female body, it's not meant in the developmental stage, this is not at all meant to be any kind of a biased or sexist comment saying that women can't play sports. We obviously love covering women's sports, but the fact of the matter is, men's bodies and women's bodies are different and they grow differently, and women's bodies are not necessarily meant to have the strain of a 60 basketball game club season and then a 40 game high school season with practices nonstop. I mean, every basketball player I know gets like 3 weeks off in October, and the rest of the time they're working full time. I mean, Rashawn Prince's mom joked with me when I said, oh, he almost plays a full NBA schedule, and she said, oh, he plays well more than an NBA schedule every year.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously not necessarily the same grind and wear that an NBA game would have, because he's not really going up against Dwight Howard or anything. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's a lot of strain to put on bodies, and I do think that's why if you look at the sports, the women's sports that have the most injuries, it's the three sports that really have the highest club presence. You don't hear about these things, and they're non-contact injuries is the thing. You don't hear about this stuff necessarily in tennis or sports like that, but soccer, volleyball, and basketball, where the good elite female players are playing year-round in clubs, we see a lot of blown knees. You know, concussions certainly have become more of a problem. But it is, and I've had multiple coaches tell me they think it's an overuse problem, and they certainly know more about it than I do, so I assume that there's some credence to that.
But it's a tough thing to fix, because that's where a lot of the recruiting comes in.
Right, they can't necessarily play us.
That's the only way that you can really compete, so it's a tough thing to fix, but it's certainly a problem worth looking at and addressing and trying to do something about, because nobody wants to see injuries. And no, it's not fun for anyone, obviously, but it's starting to become more and more of a problem.
Well, and especially at Long Beach State, you end up actually getting elite players at Long Beach State because they have to take some risks on those injuries, you know, as we've seen. The women's volleyball team is a great example. I mean, this is a team that's been injured more or less nonstop for the last 7 years, and currently at the moment have 9 active players on the roster. They just lost Delaney Agner-Swayze to she's going to have a thumb surgery. I mean, they've had 4 or 5 starters go down. Poly girls volleyball team last year, 5 of 7 starters go down for multiple games. So I do think it's something that eventually, if we really want to legislate safety the way that they've now legislated concussions at the high school level at this in the state legislature, I mean, I do think it's eventually going to have to be addressed, because it's kind of becoming an epidemic.
But what can you do? Can you make it so that kids don't play as much? Is that a thing that the government should be involved in, or not? Maybe not even the government, but the governing body like the CIF, where they say, hey, if you're going to play a travel ball and a club season, then you're going to have to sacrifice high school ball, or maybe the opposite.
You're right. I don't necessarily think that you can legislate that. I certainly don't think you should legislate it, but I wouldn't be surprised in the next decade, if this stuff continues to get worse, if we see a shortening of the high school season, because that's publicly funded. Things like that. I mean, if you notice now, it's actually going in the other direction. We're going to have soccer and basketball at the high school varsity level before Thanksgiving this year. I mean, you know, they start practicing in like 2 weeks, basically. It's just unbelievable to me the way that these seasons keep getting longer. And sure enough, I mean, we talked about it, you know, in football, because they've added, and the CIF Southern Section was vehemently opposed to this, they've added that state regional bowl game. If you win a state championship in California now, you're going to play 16 games, which is, you know, what the San Francisco 49ers are going to play this year before the playoffs start, and we play another 3 more.
Crazy.
So it's kind of shocking to me that we're asking high school kids to literally play more than professionals do, without the benefit of a full-time training staff, obviously, on hand to keep them fresh, and without them being developed 25-year-old adults.
So it's not going to happen tomorrow, probably not next week, and probably not even this year, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on in the future. Injuries are part of the game, but maybe they don't need to be, you know, every game.
Do you miss the sweet, silky texture of a newspaper between your fingers? Obviously, papers are getting thinner and thinner, but there is still a way to get that daily excitement of opening up the Daily Edition, seeing all of the news stories that are out there in the world of sports. Easiest way to do that with GazetteSports.com is to sign up for our daily e-newsletter. That'll be delivered to your email inbox every night, so when you wake up, drinking your coffee, instead of opening up a paper, which getting harder and harder to find, obviously, you can just crack open the iPad or your computer, even your phone, and take a look at everything we've put up the previous night. To sign up for our email newsletter, it's easy as can be. Go to the right column of GazetteSports.com, scroll down below the Facebook and Twitter boxes on that right column, and then just type your email address in where it says sign up for our email newsletter. If you do that, we'll get you all taken care of, and the next morning you will receive your fresh, hot copy of GazetteSports.com.
One of the finest organizations in our fair city is the Long Beach Century Club, a group of men and women who really care about Long Beach athletics and do their part to support all the different Long Beach schools and teams. This year, the Century Club Hall of Fame is going to get a great class of people to it, and we'd love to make the special announcement of this tremendous class into the Long Beach Century Club Hall of Fame.
Yeah, very excited to have this news today on behalf of Century Club President John Philpott. I am the vice president of the club, was able to sit in on the board meetings that made this decision, which I can tell you there's an excitement about that we have not had for any of the Hall of Fame classes that I've been a part of putting together. It's an unbelievable group with a nice theme is what I think is really cool about it. This year's inductees to the Long Beach Century Club Hall of Fame, the only athletics Hall of Fame that covers all schools and sports in the city of Long Beach, will be Misty May Traynor, Brian Gimolaro, and Danielle Scott Auda. Three legends at Long Beach State, three volleyball legends who should go in together. I think that they've created an incredible legacy at that school. For Gimolaro in particular, obviously to have coached both of them at Long Beach State, very cool, and we're very excited as a club. I'm very excited for the city of Long Beach, and perhaps even more excited for Long Beach State. This is great. I think it corrects some things that needed to be corrected. We had no female volleyball players in the Century Club Hall of Fame prior to this induction, when obviously that's a sport that Long Beach has long been known for, and certainly Gimolaro deserving to go in as the steward of that program over there.
Yeah, we had three Long Beach representatives on the USA women's volleyball team and an alternate, actually, over there, and obviously we can't tell you enough about Misty May Traynor and her three-peat with Kerry Walsh taking gold in the beach volleyball pit. I think we should start with Misty May. Just talk a little bit about
her. What do you guys think? I mean, I've sort of been sitting on this for a couple months, and because of our bylaws, wasn't even allowed to talk to either of you about it. I mean, what was your first thought when you heard those three names together?
I mean, those are the three names that I go to for Long Beach State volleyball. You know, I mean, who else would you really rather talk? I mean, there's obviously some other great names in there. It's such tremendous history.
It is funny you leave three-time Olympians off the list.
It's real tough.
Yeah.
It's definitely real. It's unequivocally tough. But I think the spearhead of all of that, obviously, Brian Gimolaro at the forefront of it, Misty May Traynor just continuing to put on for Long Beach and be one of the most famous U.S. Olympians, and then obviously Danielle Scott from her time at Long Beach State, and then just five-time Olympian. Just fantastic.
Jade, you, I know obviously Gimolaro, one of the first guys that you covered in college. I mean, when you heard those names, did you think, oh, that makes sense? Or because in the past we've had a water polo player here, a football player here. They haven't done a themed inducted class like this since they did a bunch of baseball legends about 15 years ago. That was apparently just the legendary night that I wish I'd been able to be at.
No, I tip of the cap to the C Club for putting that together, because the city of Long Beach got behind these Olympic Games, and good thing, because there was a few people from Long Beach and a few people representing Long Beach over in London. But yeah, I said obviously that was a great idea. But then I immediately said, what took so long? I mean, BG and Misty May have been literally the faces, like you said, Tyler, the faces of Long Beach State Volleyball, but they're also the faces of volleyball. BG is widely regarded as one of the greatest women's volleyball coaches in the NCAA of all time. So I think about time. It's a great night that they get to go together, but I have to be honest, the first thought was, they're not already in?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the thing is, Misty obviously just retired. You know, normally more time. Bruce Bradley's a great example, right? A two-time Olympian, silver medalist who just went in last year, who went in recently. Bruce has been retired for decades, and that's more in the way that the Hall of Fame usually goes. Misty's been retired for about a month and a half, you know, and Jim Mularo obviously still coaching in his 28th year at the school. So it is an interesting blend of people who really deserve to go in. Danielle Scott is hoping to still be playing in Brazil this year. So it is quite a mix of historic people. All three of them have a long pedigree of winning awards from the club. Jim Mularo has been named the Coach of the Year three times. Misty Mae Trainor has been named Athlete of the Year four times. And rather than give it to her in 2008 after she won her second gold medal, they just named her the Athlete of the Decade because it was like, this is getting to be a little ludicrous. You know, we're trying to not have this whole thing just be Misty Mae Trainor. And then Danielle Scott, when she was named National Player of the Year in 1993 at Long Beach State, was also named the Century Club's Athlete of the Year that year. So people that have been through the club's award process before. But I think now was the time when everyone felt, you know, let's make this a special night for volleyball. I just sent the press release to USA Volleyball, Volleyball Magazine. I think a lot of people in the volleyball community are going to be excited by this because these are three names, like JJ said, that kind of everyone's heard of in that world.
Now, this isn't the Pro Bowl. They don't just get named to it and then nothing else happens after that. There is a banquet coming up in February. The Century Club does their banquet every year in February, and it's going to be a fantastic night where a lot of different awards are going to be handed out all the way from the high school level to this Hall of Fame class, and I think the thing that everybody's looking forward to is the Hall of Fame speeches from these three fantastic athletes slash coach. And BG stories continue to get better and better. I don't know how it's happened, but I continue to hear new stories from these great teams that Brian Jim Mularo has coached, and I'm sure there's going to be a few. So, if you're out there listening to this show right now, you want to get involved in the Century Club, you just don't know how, well, this is the perfect way. The banquet is coming up in February. We'll obviously be putting up stories on the website letting you know about that banquet and how to get involved, but that would be a perfect way to introduce yourself to the Century Club.
And I'd say, I mean, you don't even need to wait 4 months. Every Tuesday, except for the last Tuesday of the month, we are at McKenna's at 6 p.m., so feel free to... all three of us are members. Obviously, a very important organization to be a part of if you want to do anything positive in the sports world in Long Beach. But last Tuesday of every month is a social. We'll be at Dogs this month on the last Tuesday of October. And the banquet, those details will be February 5th. It's a Tuesday night. That you can go and attend. To email the president, John Philpott, to reserve your tickets if you're interested in that. It's jfylpaa@att.net if you're interested in reserving tickets. Obviously, we'll be talking about this a lot more because we're very excited about it.
Exactly. And if you see any of us on the sidelines or just want to drop an email to any of us, let us know and ask us questions about the Century Club. We love talking about it and would love to have more people at the meetings because the more the merrier. And if you care about Long Beach sports, the Century Club is the perfect place for you.
Well, that was officially the PSA announcement of Sports Night this week. We are just lacing your boots up on everything going around
Vote
in this city that are just off the field style.
Don't make your daughter play too much basketball and join the Century Club.
We'll make your lives better here at Sports Night. We do this every week, like we said. The topics are up for discussion all week long. If you've got something that you want us to talk about, just hit the contact button on top of the page or hit the comment section on the bottom of every story at Gazette Sports. Now, once again, couldn't do any of this without our fine list of sponsors.
Obviously, Naples Rib Company, filling our lives and our stomachs with nothing but happiness and joy. McCarty's Jewelry, here for you since 1932, down there on 2nd Street, just a few blocks away from our office for all of our convenient jewelry shopping needs.
Los Alamitos Cardiovascular and Performance Vein Institute. Of course, Friedman's Appliances and Care Jones, State Farm agent. Go ahead and support our sponsors because they support us and we support you. It's just a big old support system.
More league championships this week, this weekend. We've got a bunch of football, Long Beach State soccer and volleyball also in the local area. Everything's going on in Long Beach. Everything Long Beach sports going on at GazetteSports.com. For Tyler, for Mike, for JJ,
you're JJ.
For everybody at the Gazette newspapers who make this show possible, we will see you in the stands this weekend, Long Beach. Take care.